challenge us, inspire us, and help us to follow you more faithfully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, wedding banquets and feasts and all that kind of thing. Actually, in the past few weeks, Barbara and I have been invited to very special occasions. One was a wedding. Two were 90th birthday celebrations. That's a bit unusual, isn't it? Anyway, at the wedding place, our names were there and we knew where to sit. At the two 90ths, there weren't. And so the first one, which is someone who used to work with us in camps years ago, at her place there were parts of her many family members at different tables, but we could go and sit just where we liked, so we sat in the middle. At the second 90th, it was the celebration of my oldest friend's birthday. We were at school together when I was 10. And we thought, where shall we sit? Where shall we sit? I'm supposed to be actually saying something on this occasion about our school days. Where shall we sit? In a prominent place near Peter? No, we didn't. We sat somewhere near where the buffet was, but that was us. Well, in actual fact, our reading from Luke talks about prominence, doesn't it? And it's about a meal. And presumably, Jesus was invited to this meal by the Pharisee. And actually, it says about the Pharisee that he was a leading Pharisee, prominent one, maybe a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the great council of the Jews. But presumably, Jesus must have known about him, known that he was perhaps not sympathetic to him. But it was an invitation on the Sabbath from this prominent Pharisee. So, there too were also lots of other Pharisees, and we're told leaders and experts in the law. They were there as well. And we noticed that right from the start, when Jesus arrived, he was watched carefully, under scrutiny, keeping a close eye on what Jesus was doing and saying. And then, there in front of him was this man who was ill, as we heard, suffering from abnormal swellings to his body. So had he been deliberately put there by these Pharisees to see what Jesus would do, so that Jesus might heal him on the Sabbath, thereby breaking the law, carrying out work on the Sabbath, and in the eyes of the Pharisees, as I said, breaking its rules. So, is healing work? Is healing work? So Jesus asked the Pharisees and law experts, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And the response was silence. They didn't answer. They probably couldn't answer. They were challenged. So, Jesus physically holds the man, heals him, and then sends him away. Interesting that, because it means, I think, that he'd not actually been invited to that meal, otherwise he might have stayed. Anyway, Jesus sent him away, perfectly healed. And then he challenges the hearers, as we heard and said, if one of you has a child or an ox that actually falls into a well on the Sabbath day, what are you going to do? Are you going to rescue them? Bring them out? Well, of course they would. Won't you immediately do that? Were they then breaking the Sabbath? No. Sabbath is about being compassionate. And Jesus was compassionate and healed on the Sabbath. And actually, technically, if you go through the Old Testament, you'll find that that wasn't breaking the law, things like that. So we too must not be absolutely rigid about what we think and fail to be compassionate in circumstances and people that need our help. Well, as we notice at this meal, Jesus noticed how many guests picked the places of honour. So he tells them this parable, saying that if they behaved like this, they would be humiliated because someone more important than they might come along and the host would say, here's your place, you go down lower. They would be humiliated. Jesus is emphasizing the problem of pride. When we can think of ourselves better than others, that's pride, isn't it? Are we ever like that? Oh, I'm the best head teacher there has ever been. Thankfully, I never said that, but I couldn't compare me with all the head teachers. But there is that danger of thinking that we are better than others. We may be more skillful in our work, but we're not really better than others. That can be pride. So are we ever wanting the best for ourselves then to the detriment of others? I trust not. Jesus then speaks to the person who was humble and took the lowest place. Humility. Humility is a good characteristic for all of us who follow Jesus. For Jesus set his example. He humbled himself when he came to earth. Came to earth as a man and lived in this world with all its problems and issues. And then, of course, he humbled himself and died to take away our sins. An humiliating, awful death. And Paul says in Philippians, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And in the parable he told, that humble person was encouraged to move higher. You know, there is the danger, even in a church like ours, that we may get our perspectives wrong if we are not careful. Of course, Ruth is our leader and our pastor. But that doesn't mean that she and other of us who are in prominent places from time to time are more important in the eyes of God than you are, than everyone of his followers, than everyone in the world. If you think you are not important or useful, then realize this, that God, in God's eyes, you are important, you are valued, and you do have a role within our church and in society. It may not be prominent, but it is important. Maybe someone at home, you think, I can't, I'm immobile now, but you can do one certain thing, and that is pray and put our church and our society, and your friends and yourself in the hands of God. Then Jesus talks to his host about not inviting the family, the friends, the rich, and your neighbours. Because if you do, they'll invite you back. That's true, isn't it? I know I've got friends here. They've invited us. We've invited them. But does Jesus really mean you shouldn't do that? Actually, when you look across scriptures, there are these kind of opposites and so on to challenge us and make us think. Excuse me. I think it depends on the context, doesn't it? For example, if we put aside a non-Christian friend and don't show them hospitality, we have lost the ability to express our faith to them. So we do have to help and people. I'll give you an example. When we were a young, newly married couple in the great Mecca of Immingham, you may never have heard of that, a port on the Humber Bank. We were there, we had a lovely landlady. We were lodging with this widow who gave us a room, gave us a place to be able to cook and all that kind of thing. But we had no friends. We had colleagues in our respective schools, but at that time, no friends, really. Then, suddenly, it was a Methodist family who showed us amazing hospitality. Their daughter was in my class. She was called Elizabeth. And they showed us wonderful hospitality by inviting us to their farmhouse. And that was very special to us and actually set a seed in our lives that has lasted since, the challenge to be hospitable. And then two other families within our church also invited us similarly. And all those families, all those people were older than we were. What an example to us. Hospitality might just be inviting someone from our own church, someone who is often on their own, might need company. Sometimes it could be a new neighbour in our vicinity, or it could be like joining Friends International hospitality scheme within our city. As you probably know, students who come to our universities are often lonely, international students in particular. So you can invite them for a meal or tea or something. As it says in Hebrews, as we read, do not forget to show hospitality for strangers. There are opportunities for us to show hospitality to others. So if we are compassionate, we can support people in many different ways. Even those imprisoned or ill-treated for their faith, how? By praying for them, by supporting organisations perhaps which are seeking to help them. So, let's be encouraged by those words we heard earlier from God. Never will I leave you or forsake you. That is the loving God. He will never leave us or forsake us. And that's true, as he loves the whole world. Now, a question for you that you might like, if you've got time to reflect after the service or at home, over lunch or whatever. Is it ever right to be proud of your achievements? Is it ever right to be proud of the achievements of one member of your family? Maybe a son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter and so on. And this one, is it possible to be too humble, so making us inefficient?